Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
As I said at the beginning of the service, I have been in my hometown this weekend with my mom and her family. We gather every Memorial Day weekend for a family reunion that started because Memorial Day weekend was the time of dance recital for my sister and I. I started taking dance lessons when I was 4 years old, and my sister joined when she was old enough. We stayed with the same studio, dance studio, all the way through high school graduation, and I danced a little bit beyond that. I loved dance lessons. I did all kinds of stuff. I did ballet and tap and jazz dancing and hip-hop, or what passes for hip-hop in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, which is kind of like hip-hop in the late 80s and early 90s. And all kinds of dance. And we had a recital once a year on Memorial Day weekend that my aunts and uncles and cousins would come see, and my grandmother while she was living. And we had often competitions that we would go to, usually in the springtime, the middle of the spring. And we would go to these competitions and as an ensemble and do our number together. And then the big thing was to get good enough that they'd give you a solo, which I had toward the end of my dancing career, and then to take your solo to competition. Now, I have to tell you that when I took my solo to competition, first of all, it was not the most technically challenging solo ever, because I'm not the most technically gifted dancer. I absolutely hated competing in dance on my own. And I was terrified of it, and I never did very well. But I didn't even like it. I didn't like all the attention on me just by myself, which is funny, I know, right? Because it seems like I like the attention on me all by myself. Not when I'm wearing a leotard and tights. It's not as good. What I loved about dance was being part of the troupe, being part of the ensemble. And our ensembles, our dance groups, always did really, really well. And many of the individuals in our groups did really well in their solos. But our groups always performed really well in competition and in our recitals. And I was proud to be part of that group. You see, in a sports team, quite often, it depends on the sport, but in a sports team, quite often, you have star players. And perhaps over the course of a whole show, you may have a star dancer here or there. But unlike most competitive sports, in dance, when you're doing a group number, it's not about one person doing a really great job while everybody else sways in the background and does backup. When you're doing a really good dance number, it's about how the dancers work together. It's about how they interact and intersect. And of course, there are some types of dance where the goal is to be perfectly uniform. If you've ever seen the Rockettes perform, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? It's not just that the height that they kick has to be exactly the same, but there's a height range for Rockettes. They won't take women above or below a certain height, and for a very long time, the Rockettes were not integrated. They would not take women who were not white because they wanted the look of the Rockette to be perfectly consistent across the line. Now, the Rockettes are quite lovely, and they do beautiful dancing, but I find that a little stale. What I love about dancing is the diversity of it and how the different people on stage interact with each other and how these different bodies and body types are creating a beautiful picture, beautiful work together. It is art and it is beauty, and it works because of how the group works together. Even the word we use for a dance group, ensemble, right, is the French word for together, ensemble. And so what was beautiful to me and what I loved about dance was not my own solo, heaven forbid. It was the group, the ensemble working together. Now, us Christians have this really weird tension that we walk when it comes to God and how we talk about God. You see, Judaism was monotheistic. It was one of the first great monotheistic religions, meaning one God, right? Lots of other religions are worshiping many gods, left, right, and center, and all the different aspects of things that are happening. Each have their own kind of deity to go with them. But Judaism said, no, there is one God. And so Christianity comes out of Judaism with its understanding of one God, but then we've got this Jesus guy we've got to figure out what to do with, because there's something divine in him and about him. And then there's this experience, this ongoing, enduring experience in the Christian community of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And then we've got to figure out what to do with that. And so Christians kind of articulate that into what we call the doctrine of the Trinity. Some Christians find it so important they name their entire church building after it, their entire congregation after it, right? Trinity, United Methodist Church. It is a cornerstone, a foundation even, of our faith. And yet, we really aren't quite sure what we're talking about. I mean, we've got this idea of like God as creator and Christ and Spirit, or Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and you know, these kind of different parts of God, and that they all work together. And then I learned that one of the ways that we talk about Trinity, theologically, intellectually, is to describe it as a dance. The dance of the Trinity. The interaction of the relationships of these aspects, these parts of God that is mysterious and we don't understand, described as a dance. And then I could understand a little bit better. Because, again, it's not about one shining forth. It's not about one thing or one being or one person taking center stage. Maybe for a time, when you're doing an ensemble dance, one or two people are at the center, and then there's movement and there's change. And it's the way in which the dancers interact that creates the art, that creates the beauty. This passage from Proverbs is fascinating to me. It's so beautiful, so interesting. In the passage, the person speaking is wisdom personified. Wisdom personified. Wisdom, Sophia. We have a Sophia in our congregation. She's not here today, but we have a Sophia. Her name means wisdom. And it is a female name, obviously, Sophia, and it is a female word. And it is, in the story, a woman crying out in the streets and calling to people, and then describing her role in creation, and describing the way in which wisdom is involved in God's creation before anything else. Well, and that reminds me of the beginning of the fourth gospel, where John describes, or the author that we call John describes, the Word with God before anything else. And the Word was God. And through the Word, all things come into being. And without the Word, nothing comes into being. And I begin to get this sense that whether we're talking about wisdom or the Word or both, right? Wisdom we often tie to the Holy Spirit, and the Word we tie, the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us, we tie to Jesus. That God is working in a team. God is working as a dance. God is not working alone. God is not working as a creator by itself. But that God works and moves and creates in relationship, in dance, in an ensemble, in a team. And there's something so beautiful about that. That's how we work. That's how we create. Even an artist or a poet or a musician who creates in their studio or their inspiration space doesn't do that in isolation. That person is in relationship in the world. That person is working in the world. And so God's word that God speaks and becomes part of creation is in relationship, is in a dance. God's wisdom that creates and is there before all things, beside God, as one translation says, as a master builder at God's side. God's right-hand person, woman, creating with God before there is water or dust. Wisdom. Wisdom's not just, you know, like smarts, right? We distinguish a difference. You know, wisdom's not being wicked smart, as my Boston friends say. Wisdom is this combination, right, of intelligence, knowledge, experience, vision, reflection, which is why we often describe folks who are older as wise, because they have the wisdom, the experience, the reflection, the vision born out of those experiences working together. It's not just about intellect. It's about that greater picture. And so wisdom itself, not just like thought, God thinking and speaking, and that's it, but that reflection, that experience, that interaction with the world, that vision going forward, that reflection looking back. Wisdom is God's right-hand person. Wisdom is part of God's team, God's dance ensemble. Word is part of God's team, God's dance ensemble. And without others, without the relationship that God is, nothing happens. Nothing comes into being. There is no art. There is no beauty. There is no creation. There is nothing made that doesn't come from the dance, the relationship in God's own being. Well, that's all very heady and complex. That's great. That's how we think about God. So what? So what is our role in the world? What is our role in the work that God is doing? What is our role in the art, in the creation? What is our role in the dance? Now, some of us are not the best dancers in the world. I was okay. And I was okay in an ensemble. I'm not so great by myself. But in that dance ensemble, there is space. There is space, especially if we're not going to go Rockette style and everyone has to look the same. There is space for the people who are taller and get to stand in the back. And might forget some of the steps sometimes, it happens. There's space for people who express and move a little bit differently. There's space for all of that to work together in this kind of harmony. Or if you like, harmony in music, right? The goal of a choir is not to sing with one voice that all sounds the same, but to blend and use the voices that are singing at different pitches, sometimes at different times, and to the harmony that's created in the diversity is what makes it beautiful, is what makes it creation, is what makes it art, what makes it new. So if God works fundamentally in that way, creating beauty and art in relationship, and if we believe that God's at work in the world still, which I have to believe, I mean, look around, it's constantly renewing and recreating, then we too must have a part in this choir, a part in this dance, a place on this team. We may have some star players. We may have some folks who stand in the back. But we too are part of the mystery and the beauty of what God is doing in the world. Now, I'm a good, card-carrying, love-my-denomination Methodist. But our siblings in Christ, the United Church of Christ, have this wonderful motto where they say, God is still speaking. You may have seen their banners, usually have a big comma on them, and then God is still speaking. A wonderful way of thinking about God at work in the world, God creating in the world, still speaking, still revealing. But I want to expand it even further. God is still working in wisdom. It's not just the word, it's wisdom in creation. God is still singing, God is still dancing. God is still drawing us out to be part of the team, the divine teamwork that works in the world. I do lots and lots of thinking about the way God works. In fact, I wrote an entire undergraduate thesis paper entitled something about the one and the many. I wrote an entire undergraduate thesis paper about the Trinity, essentially. And I still couldn't possibly tell you exactly what I think about it, let alone what anyone should think about it. But what I do get is that there is a beauty that comes from the dance, a beauty that comes from the relationship, a beauty that we're invited into, that it's not complete. It's not even begun. Creation is not even begun without wisdom. And creation is never complete without us, our interaction, our joining in the dance. It's messy, it's complicated, it's complex, we don't understand it, but that's a pretty good description of life. I was never very good at a solo dance, and I don't think I'd be very good at being a solo Christian or a solo person in the world. I'm not even sure how I would try that. But I love working in an ensemble. I love being part of God's team. I love being a voice. I better be a background voice, but a voice in the choir that sings God's praise. I love being a part of God's creation. What steps are you called to do? What notes are you called to sing? What is your wisdom and your word that you give to God's ongoing creation? This is our task, because God doesn't work alone, and neither do we. We are called to be part of the divine team. We are called to be part of the song, part of the ensemble dancing. May creation continue to unfold in us and around us. Amen.